Well, thank you very much, and it's just a great joy to be here and to, wow, see this amazing building compared to what I remember of it last year, which was fairly basic, one could say. But this is just fantastic, isn't it? And God has really blessed you and just given you so much to work with now in the community for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And it's great to be with you in your worship, singing all the great songs. They're great songs, great worship, great truths that we're declaring about our great God and about ourselves. We are God's children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're no longer slaves to fear. We've been rescued from all that and set free. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. So I'm going to share on Moses this morning, and it's a story you'll well know, so we're not going to read it, but it's a story about Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. And I really believe with all my heart that what gets the work of God done, what kind of shoots us forward in a new phase of activity and fruitfulness is not great planning and strategizing and looking at all, you know, kind of trying to organize it. What really shoots us forward in the work of God is an encounter with God himself. Amen?
Amen.
Hearing what God says to us. And, you know, kind of the older you get, the simpler things become, believe it or not. There are lots of downsides to getting old, believe me. Getting old is not for wimps, you know, all the kind of aches and pains and everything else that happens. But there are a few upsides to getting old, and one of them is that everything gets simpler. And you begin to realize that, you know, after years of trying to do stuff and making mistakes and having spectacular failures and a few successes along the way, and you kind of gradually discover how God works with you, in you, and through you. Hallelujah. And it gets simpler as you get older. So what it comes down to, let me give you my distilled wisdom of many years, is this. All we have to do is to meet with God, walk with God, meet with God, hear what God says to us, right, and be foolish enough to actually do it. Right, to be bold enough sometimes, to be courageous in the often the situation where people are saying, don't do it, you are crazy, and it won't work, and all the kind of negative things that people say to you. I've discovered this, that if you just hear from God, and with all your heart, with and it's from the heart, it's not just kind of, you know, a planned, thought-out thing. It's from the heart. If God can touch our hearts, if God can speak into our hearts and minds so that our hearts are motivated, our hearts are moved, so that we're kind of filled with vision and faith and confidence and boldness, and then we just step out in faith and do it. And God kind of opens a door, breakthroughs happen, remarkable things happen, which are quite unexpected, but somehow it kind of shoots you along in the working of God. Hallelujah. And so I'm not a great one. I believe we hear God and we decide we're going to do what God says. Then the planning starts. Right? It starts after hearing what God wants us to do. Amen. We don't plan it first and then pray for God to bless it. We hear from God first, and we do that, and we step out in faith, and then God blesses that because he's already planned it. He's already ordained it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And that's what we've got to kind of get behind, get into, is hearing God, having an encounter with God, putting ourselves in a place where we can have an encounter with God. And Moses was 40 years in the wilderness because probably, you know, when he grew up in Pharaoh's palace with the Egyptians, he probably had planted in his heart. God probably spoke to him back then to set the children of Israel free. And it says he chose not to live in luxury, but to endure suffering with the people of God. Hallelujah. And so he was motivated to try and help the people of God, the Hebrews. And so, you know, when that he saw that Egyptian beating them, he killed the Egyptian. He thought, maybe I can start some kind of revolution. Maybe this is the way we can get them all free. Human thinking, human strength failed miserably. Not only did the Egyptians try to kill him, but the Israelites kind of rejected him as well. And off he went into the wilderness for 40 years, a total failure. He tried to do the work of God, and he failed miserably. Does anyone identify with that besides me? Okay. And he spent 40 years of frustration, sense of failure, kind of all those questions. God, I thought I was doing your will. I tried to do what you wanted me to do, but it didn't work. Why? Where were you? All those kind of questions, filled with discouragement, disappointment, every day trudging through the desert, looking after those sheep. Oh, how miserable. If you've ever been to the Negev desert where he was, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, imagine just waking up every morning, there's nothing there. What am I going to do today? Oh, I'll walk with the sheep again and try and find something to eat. And then I'll go to bed. And tomorrow, you know, 40 years of that must have driven him mad. All the time feeling that God had a plan for his life and he'd missed it. And maybe there's some of you feel like that today. And let me tell you, God has a plan for everyone's life. Amen? Right, he hasn't chosen anyone here not to use. Right, every single one of us, he wants to bless us and make us a blessing. He wants to put his hand on our lives, inspire us with passion and the joy of serving him. I'll tell you, there's nothing like it in the earth, in the world, in life. But to serve God with all your heart, to know that he's with you and blessing your life. The hand of God's on your life. The favor of God is with you. Hallelujah. You go to bed at night feeling grateful, peaceful. You get up in the morning thinking, what does this new day hold for us? God's going to be with me. What doors is God going to open? What prayers is he going to answer? Maybe you've been praying for stuff for years, and today might be the day. Hallelujah. And you kind of live on the edge of expectancy and wanting to see and expecting to see the hand of God at work in your life. Hallelujah. But Moses, he was there trudging around the desert, and then he saw this burning bush, and it was quite a sight in the middle of the desert, and he wandered over to have a look at it and kind of investigate it a bit. And the voice of God came out of the burning bush. Take off your shoes, because this is holy. The ground itself wasn't holy, but the presence of God sanctified it. It made that place, it made that moment a holy moment, a moment when he heard God, a moment when he encountered the living God. And God spoke to him and said, I've heard the cries of my children Israel, and I've seen how much they've suffered, and I'm going to come down. I've come down, he said, to rescue them. Hallelujah. Thank God that he's a God who comes down to us. So often we're reaching up to him, right? But he's a God who comes down to us. He's not a God who just stays up there. And if maybe, you know, we're kind of good enough and loud enough or impressive enough, or we somehow manage to attract God's attention, we can kind of get through to him up there. No, he's a God who hears our cries, who sees our circumstances, our distresses sometimes, our pains, our anxieties, our failures. And he's a God then who comes down. Hallelujah. I love it that he's a God who humbles himself. Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped and held on to at all costs. All the glory of heaven, the comfort and the acclaim and the wonder of heaven. But he decided to lay that aside and come down. Hallelujah. To us. He loves us to come down to us, to our level, to live among us, to be with us. Hallelujah. He's here right now. We don't have to kind of get through somehow up there because he's come right down in our midst. He's with us and he loves being with us. That's always amazed me. He loves being with me. Hallelujah. He didn't just come to seek and save the lost. He came to be a friend to sinners. He is my friend and your friend. Hallelujah. He really likes me. I can think of loads of reasons why he shouldn't like me. There's lots of other people who don't like me. But God likes me. Hallelujah. And he likes you too. He's a friend. And he's a very present friend. Hallelujah. He's with us. So Moses, you can just imagine, started jumping for joy. Wow, God's going to set Israel free, all the children of Israel free. At last he's going to move. Why didn't he move 40 years earlier and save me all that time in the desert? God's always too slow somehow. Have you kind of discovered that? You know, we always want him to move. God, answer my prayer now, please. You know, just hurry up and get on with it. You know, somehow, you know, we kind of find God too slow. And that's why the Old Testament's full of the words, wait on God, wait for God. There's always a timing in God's heart for us. And that's another thing, when you grow older, you begin to understand the timing of God a bit. But that's one of the things I find so difficult to understand, is the timing of God. He's always too slow. My wife always says, you're so impatient. You want everything now. You know, I'm the kind of guy that when I, you know, drive along, all the traffic lights always seem red. Are they like that for you? This morning I'm coming along here, red, 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 red. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Turn green. Hurry up. And somehow we kind of a bit like that. For heaven's sake, God, get on with it. But actually I've discovered that it's God who's waiting for us. He wants to do things. He wants to use us. And he's just waiting for us to get ready. He's waiting for us to get to a place where he can actually use us, where we're free from all our hang-ups and sinful tendencies and things that rule over us and hold us down, and worries and fears and all those kind of things. And I also know about being fearful. I do. I understand that, but thank God I've been set free from fear as well. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it's very often in the practical times of danger and difficulty that God actually sets us free from things. Sometimes we want God just to set us free. So, you know, but God puts us in a place where he says, right, now I'm going to set you free. I can remember when I was first traveling around in Eastern Europe when it was all communist times, and I was in East Germany teaching a kind of secret little group of believers, and we were in a farmhouse and right up on the Baltic Sea, on the right up north it was, and it was freezing cold, and suddenly they took hold of me and the guys in the good guys, the pastors, and took me upstairs and hid me under some straw or behind some straw bales. And they just said, KGB. So it means like the secret police are coming. The Stasi, actually, it was in East Germany. And so I was hidden behind these things, absolutely trembling with fear, thinking I was going to have a heart attack, going, oh, God, please help me, please. You know, how you do. And I tell you, the presence of God so came upon me in those moments. I just somehow quietened down under the awesome sense of the presence of God. I was filled with peace until I noticed a pitchfork. Have you seen those films, you know, where they grab a pitchfork and start going like that through the... That was another moment of panic. And they came up and they looked around, and I was kind of really quiet, and praise God they didn't find me. But I tell you what, in that moment, God did a huge job in releasing me from fear. Hallelujah. So a wonderful thing. Sorry, I'm getting waylaid with stories now, but in Armenia, there's another pastor in a place called Nagorno-Karabakh, and they fight over that bit of land with the Azerbaijanis. And every time the Azerbaijanis attack, everyone in the community is sent to the front line and given a gun. So my pastor friend, who's a little guy, he was sent to the front line, given a gun. He said, and he was told, these 30 people that are with you, you're their commander. And he's kind of wondering which way to hold the gun. And they're all standing around, and suddenly there's all this fire going on, and they all fall to the ground. And my friend is in total panic, and he's crying out to God. And the presence of God came to him, and he just felt so full of peace. He lay there for about 20 minutes while all this firing went off over his head. He took me to the very spot, and he said, this is where God met me and delivered me from fear. Wow. Hallelujah. And he said, you know, God spoke to me and said, I will be with you and you will be saved. And I will give you the lives of all these men with you. And so when they got up and they were all gathered around, he was left with the men. He said, like Paul on the boat, do you remember? God spoke to me and said, all you lot are going to be safe with me. So don't worry. God is, and they were all laughing and kind of critical, all that kind of stuff. And they had a month-long encounter, artillery fire came over. They saw it dropping, landing right in the middle of them and not exploding. So it's sticking out of the ground like that and remained unexploded until they were able to get out of the way. And all 30 of them were kept absolutely untouched by the enemy. Wow. On their right hand, on their left hand, people were killed. All of them were saved. Hallelujah. So it's often in the situation that God sets you free and God delivers you. So when you find yourself in a situation, a difficult situation, don't kind of think that's God's abandoned you. That's the very place God will meet with you. Hallelujah. When you're in a time of stress and difficulty, in the pit, as we've all been, that's the time when God will reach down and lift us up. Amen. He'll be with us. Hallelujah. And so Moses, sorry, I'm getting distracted there, but Moses is saying, wow, God's going to do it, hallelujah. And God says, right, now you go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he suddenly, all his exuberance suddenly turned to great fear. Me? I gotta go? No way, God, do it without me. And all you can imagine, all the excuses. I'm a failure, I'm no good, no one will listen to me, I'm useless, you'll be better off without me. Who am I, he says. I'm the least person to go. Right? Now, let me just say, you know, we often feel the least important, the least qualified, the least gifted, the least able to say anything, the least persuasive, the least kind of able to kind of touch someone's lives. Let me say that it's the least of us that God uses. Amen. Hallelujah. Every single one of us here, God can use in the way that he chooses. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Every single one, from the youngest to the oldest. Amen?
Amen.
Male or female? Amen?
Amen?
Black or white? Amen?
Amen?
Whatever background and station in life, educated or uneducated, does it matter?
No.
Rich or poor, does it matter? God can use every single one of us. Fat or thin.
Hooray!
Hey! God can use us. Hallelujah. It's really true. Married or single. God can use us. Right-handed or left-handed. God can use us. There was a guy in the Old Testament called Ehud. And it was comment upon that he was left-handed, because everyone used to fight with their right hands. This poor guy was left-handed, couldn't do anything. And yet God used him to kill a king and set the children of Israel free with his left hand. Hallelujah. Great story, isn't it? He stuck that knife into that fat king. Yeah, it didn't even come out. The fat all went up. These gory stories are great, aren't they? And the guy got killed by a left-handed guy. Guy who's left-handed. God can use every single one of us. Whole or infirm, God can use you. Amen? Every single one of us. So, you know, and you know, this is the remarkable thing about the ways of God. God could have just kind of sent the plagues down on Egypt, right? But he chose to use a man to announce that the plagues were coming. Amen? This is how God gets things done in the world today. He doesn't just kind of come down, shimmer down in a haze of glory and everything happens. No, he says, right, I'm going to choose you. He's looking out for who he can use in particular circumstances and situations. He's looking for the right person at the right time, in the right circumstance, in the right place. Right? And so he then says, right, I'm going to choose you. I want you to go. And God doesn't do anything unless in the world today, or hardly ever. Sometimes he does miracles that we don't, it's kind of just beyond our kind of expectation or anything like that. Sometimes that happens. But usually, the way God works is he looks around. When he wants to do something, he's looking around. I wonder what he wants to do around here. God's got plans for this area, amen?
Come on.
Huge plans.
Yeah.
God's got plans for the we can hardly dare understand or imagine. They're so big, they're so beautiful, they're so amazing, they're so remarkable. God wants to move in these ways here. And the way he'll do it is he'll look around and say, right, you, I want you to go there and do this. I want you to go there and talk to that person. Knock on that door, pray for that person, do an act of kindness here. Set up some kind of project that's going to reach people. Amen?
Amen?
And he will use us. That's why in the New Testament, it's always we are co-workers together with God. We're partners together with him to get the job done. Hallelujah. We're co-laborers in the work of God. We're working with him. He says, take my yoke upon you. Walk with me. Right? We kind of you know, so often think it's doing the great thing, the great idea. Jesus says, just get yoke with me. And what's the picture of, you know, it's like an ox kind of walking through the paddy fields or the grain, the corn fields. Slow, deliberate, nothing spectacular, pooping all over the place. I've just been to Cambodia, I've seen it. That's all they do, all they seem to do. Jesus says, be yoked with me, just walk. Walk in the fields. Walk among people. Walk here, walk there. Let's be yoked together. Come, let's do it together. That's how God works with us. Are you yoked with Jesus? Or are you kind of pursuing your own plans and ideas and visions and goals? Or is it your main goal to just get yoked with Jesus? Go where he goes. Go where he takes you. Amen? That means that every single one of us, phew, time's almost gone. Every single one of us can be yoked with Jesus. That's how God gets his work done. And Moses says, who am I? As we all do. And God doesn't, you know how God answers that question? He says, go and I will be with you. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter who you are. I'll be with you. That's what matters. That's the one thing we need more than anything else to do the work of God, is to know that he is with us. Right? Because he will open doors that you cannot open. Right? He will open people's hearts that you cannot, you can't, you know, he will touch their hearts in a way that you can't do it. He will provide for you miraculously when you're thinking, how is this going to be paid for? His grace is sufficient for all our needs, is it not? There's no need we can ever possibly have that is beyond the scope of his grace. Hallelujah. And he makes his grace totally available to us. His grace that works in our hearts, that makes us strong inside, that takes a fearful, stuttering person, says, I'll be with you. And you're kind of filled with confidence and faith. Think, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, when God says, I'm with you, something happens in your heart. You feel comforted. You feel encouraged. You feel blessed. You feel kind of different to how you felt before. To know that God is with you and he will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. He'll never walk out on you. He'll never fail you. He'll never falter in his commitment to you. He'll never fall asleep on you. Hallelujah. He's a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always there when we call. Hallelujah. I'm with you. That's why so many the greatest prophecies of the Old Testament is God says, I'm with you. Full stop. That's all you need to know, is that he is with you. When you know that he is with you, you're comforted and strengthened inside. But you're also made bold to do the task that God's called you to do. One of the best stories I've heard recently, this is in Greenland. I know I told you about Greenland before, but it's just such a beautiful place where God's moving at the moment. You know, Greenland in the Arctic, all ice and snow and everything. It's not green at all, but... And I was there in a few months ago, and it was all snow on the ground and everything. And there's 13 churches in Greenland. Hallelujah. And for the first time in their history, leaders from every church came together. Hallelujah. And God's just joined our hearts with a guy who's got a vision for the nation to see God move right across that country. and amazing guy. And this one of the pastors gave this story. He's out. He lives in a little village of about three or four hundred people. That's about as big as it gets out there. And he's out in the snow, and he goes out, and they've all got dogs. So are there any dog lovers here? I'm a great lover of dogs. We've always had dog, not now, which, you know, but anyway, this is a dog story, okay? And he's so isolated, him and his wife. They're in this place, no one comes and goes. The only way you can get out of it is to get a boat down the coast, or an occasional helicopter, or a dog sledge across hundreds of kilometres. And so he's got a pack of dogs. He loves his dogs. But he's feeling low. He's feeling isolated. So him and his wife, every morning, they're saying, God, where are you? We've lost the sense of your presence with us. And he's crying out to God, just smile on us. Just move in our life. Just show us that you're there for us. Have you ever prayed those kind of prayers? They're prayed the world over, believe me. Hallelujah. And then one day he goes out and he's walking along with his favourite dog called iPhone. Why he called him iPhone, I don't know. And suddenly there's a polar bear. And the dog springs to his defence and attacks the polar bear. And the polar bear goes whack like that. And the dog's lifeless on the ground. And he manages to shoot the polar bear, kill it. I hope, you know, that's okay with people, but it's either him or the polar bear, like, you know. And he picks up his dog and carries his dog back home. He sees that his head's all bashed in, his eyeballs hanging down, he's covered in blood and just about dead. And he takes him back to the village. They don't have doctors there, they have shaman kind of witch doctors who look, you know, to like heal the broken and everything. So he takes it to the witch doctor who says, this dog's going to die. But he said, I'll just cut his eye out, cut it right off, and you know, try and make him comfortable. So he did that, took him home, carried him home, put him on the ground with the other dogs, left him there for the night. In the morning, he goes out to feed the dogs, and this dog, full of life, comes bounding up to him and jumps into his arms. He thinks, wow, God's heard my prayers. God is with me. The dog's alive. And he kind of, you know how you hold dogs and they lick your face and all that kind of stuff, and they're friendly and all that. And he's looking into the face of this dog, and he sees he's got a perfectly brand new eye by a creative miracle of God in his socket, two eyes back in his head. And he thinks, wow, God is with me. And the scripture that came to mind, do you remember when Jesus said, when these birds fall to the ground, and your heavenly Father notices every single bird, he said, are you not of greater value than these? And he said, my wife and I, we've been praying for, not for healing, not for, just God, smile on us again. And the most precious thing to him was his dogs. And God did a wonderful miracle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, that news of that got around, that was of greater impact in the kingdom of God than any evangelistic strategy. God moved. Hallelujah. God was with him. God opened doors. God made a way where there was no way. God blessed. The amazing thing is that God doesn't just do things out there just to get the job done. He finds a way of blessing people in the process. Hallelujah. Like Abraham and Sarah, without children. I'm going to make you into a great nation. The only thing they hadn't got was children, which would have been their pain, dishonor, shame. So God says, right, I'm going to bless you and give you a child. Hallelujah. That's the best thing God could have done for them. Hallelujah. And through that, the nations of the earth were blessed. Hallelujah. This is how God moves. He blesses us. He comes to us. He's with us. Right? You know, we pray for so many other things. If the best prayer, God, just be with me today. God, be with me when I sleep. So you wake up refreshed and ready for a new day. God, be with me through the day. So you can overcome temptation. You can be nice to people. I find that hard. God, if we just knew that God was with us. Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended, go into all the world and make disciples. And all the disciples were like Moses. Who, us? We've never been out of Israel, let alone to the whole world. What are you talking about? This is crazy instruction. How's it going to work? And God says, all authority. Jesus said, all authority is given to me. Go, and I will be with you to the end of the age. How do we get the work done? God is with us. God is with us. Right? How do doors open? You know, I was in a meeting in another country just recently, and the pastor said to me, we never call people out for prayer. It's all a bit kind of, you know, quiet here, and nothing much happens here. So he said, when you finish preaching, don't, you know, I said, fine, no problem. I'll just preach and sit down. That's okay. But I noticed when I was preaching, lots of people started to cry. I'm good at making people cry. But they were clearly touched by God. And this guy at the end says, okay, let's call them out for prayer. He said, I think, you know, some might be ready. I said, if you want to do it, you do it. It's up to you. So he kind of hesitantly calls, said, if anyone wants to come out for prayer, you're welcome. He said, that's the first time I've done it for years. About half the congregation came out. That means over 200 people came out for prayer. And he said to me, what are we going to do now? I said, we're going to pray for them. What else? And it was beautiful how God touched people. Beautiful. And I don't even remember this guy, but a load of the men would come out and put their head on your shoulder and just cry. We'd pray for them to be healed and for God to... it's very kind of moving, quietly moving, you know. And a number of people testified straight away that God had touched them, which was great. But about 3 months later, this guy emailed me and he said, I can see the time, I'm going to finish. 2 more minutes. He said, there was a guy, you won't remember him, but he came out and he was hobbling out. And I didn't remember him. He said, and on his email, he said he came out, he had hemorrhoids, really bad hemorrhoids. And he could hardly walk with it. And he said to me, 3 months later, he said, I wasn't going to say anything till I really knew I was healed 3 months later. He said, that moment, the power of God came on me and I was totally healed. And I've remained healed all this time of hemorrhoids. Hallelujah. Now, I remember that story. I like that story because the first time I ever was bold enough to call people forward to be prayed for healing when I was a young man, bold and brash and foolish. And a guy, the first guy who came out, he said, I got hemorrhoids, and I didn't know what hemorrhoids were. And I said to him, sit down here and I'll pray for you. A total disaster. And after another 30 odd years, God healed someone of hemorrhoids. Hallelujah. I was so blessed to hear that story. But you know, if God is with you, things just start opening, breaking open, breaking open, breaking open. And God is with you to break things open. I'm going to give you a prophetic word, if I may, but it's a joke. But you'll get it, I hope. As I just finish off with this, there's this American guy who's a farmer in Texas, got a huge, great farm. And he discovers that he's got relatives in England. So he comes over to England to find his relatives. He finds a long-lost cousin, and he's also a farmer, amazingly. So they're sitting in his farmhouse, and the American guy, farmer, says to the English farmer, "How big's your farm?" And the guy says, "Well, you see that hedge over there and that gate and that tree? That's my farm," kind of proud of it. You know, this is quite, you know, this is a nice little farm. So he says to the American guy, "How big's your farm?" And the guy says, "Well, if I get in my car and drive 2 days, I come to the edge of my farm." And the English farmer says, "Yeah, I used to have a car like that as well." And what God is saying to you, okay, what God is saying to you is your vision is too small. You've put, you know, your little hedge, your little tree, your boundary there. You know, God's done a wonderful thing here. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, it's far too small. It's just the beginning, right? And God wants you to not think in terms of broken down cars anymore or little visions or little... He's wanting you to open your eyes to the fields that are white to harvest. There is a huge farm out there, a huge field out there ready to be harvested. Amen. And he wants to use each one of you, every single one of you, 100% mobilization, no one hanging around on the fringe, no one kind of so concerned with their own lives and problems that they can't look out and see how God can use them. God wants us to break free from all that and see the fields that are white to harvest. See the people that need to be liberated. God has come down already among you and done this wonderful thing. But that's just the beginning. What other remarkable works await you? Let's stand and pray. Father God, thank you for this faithful, wonderful, amazing bunch of people here, Lord. Lord, and thank you for all that you've done in this place, in restoring this building, making it ready for many, many more people to come in, many more activities that will reach people and bring people to you, Lord Jesus. And soon it will be far too small for all the things that they're doing, Lord, and you'll show them the next step and the next step. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you'll fill every heart with vision and faith and say, "Even me, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Lord, take my life. Lord, take my life. Make me an instrument that you can use to bless many, many people. Or the ones and twos here, the lonely, the lost, the last, the least. Lord Jesus, help all these people here to reach someone and to do something, Lord Jesus, something maybe they've never done before. Lord, send them into the world. Go with them. Let your presence be with them in remarkable and incredible ways, Lord Jesus, that just opens up more and more doors into this whole community. And so people realize that there is a God who cares for them, who is only a prayer away, who will answer them in their distress and need through your people here in the church. Lord, bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.